everyone said, Amen. So I Googled the word renew out of curiosity this week and found a jillion hair and nail salons, of course, and a day spa, and a kitchen and bath renovation company, and a church, and an auto body shop, a center for addiction and counseling, a mental health services company that sort of combines Eastern wisdom and modern neuroscience, and information about where to renew your vehicle, sticker, and license plate. Do not remember the former things, God says, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? The promises of Scripture, friends, offer us all kinds of truth about what God is doing and the power of God to make all things new. And over the next few weeks here at the beginning of the year, we'll take a look at God's word for us as we seek to be renewed, body, mind, and spirit. So today we hear, as we just heard in Scripture, the ultimate renewal story, the baptism of Jesus. It's actually told in many churches on the second or third Sunday of January in the new year, as we sort of lean into to Lent coming and that sort of thing. It's not a sweet story of swaddling clothes anymore, right? But the grown-up Jesus and a word to the wise that God is and will do something new in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. You may know this scene. Maybe you remember this from your children's Bibles, even some of you. Jesus is now grown up and comes to John the Baptist and asks to be baptized in the Jordan River. And in the Message version of the Bible, John says to the crowd gathered around him, I'm baptizing you here in the river, but the main character in this drama, to whom I'm a mere stagehand, will ignite the kingdom life, a fire, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you, listen to this, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives, and he'll place everything true in its proper place before God, and everything false, he'll put out with the trash to be burned. Baptism, friends, is kind of a metaphorical death in a way. It seems kind of strange to say that, but it's a death to the old ways of doing things and a reminder that the Holy Spirit gives us the power to rise above all that would keep us from becoming new again. New every morning, we read in Scripture. Or in Christ, we are a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. You may remember that baptism literally means immersion, not like that immersion blender that some of you foodies love, I know, but it is like in Jesus's baptism, that is a full body dunking into the river, right? Some of you, you know, in this church we often, of course, practice infant baptism, which is more of a sprinkling. But in Jesus's case, it was a full body dunking. And some of you who are raised in Baptist traditions or other traditions may have seen this or witnessed friends who have been baptized in a baptismal, what is sometimes called a tank at the back of the church. Maybe you've seen this. And people dressed in robes and totally going under the water, full body immersion. We read that for Jesus, as his body rose from the waters, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form, like a dove. And there was a voice from heaven. You know this. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So often in church, we tend to kind of separate out the body and the spirit, the life of the spirit from these bodies we inhabit. But I think Jesus' baptism is a wonderful example of how body and spirit come together as one, and they are renewed by the Holy Spirit. A friend of mine shared with me this week that when her five-year-old son is not listening, she bends down and she holds his face sort of gently between her two hands. And she says slowly something like, please go put on your shoes, or whatever it is that she needs him to do. And she laughed as she told me this because she says at least half the time he'll walk down the hall and get halfway down the hall to his room and then turn around and say, Mama, what is it again that you wanted me to do? We hear so many messages in our culture from TV, from social media, from friends even, from people we love, about how to be, about how to renew ourselves, how to get right, how to be the right kind of person. But the most important message that we need to hear, you might imagine God doing the same, holding your face between God's hands and saying to you, "You are my beloved." Sometimes the nudge to do something new, whether it be the beginning of a new year or other times, the call to turn away from the old and embrace the new, sometimes the Spirit can speak to us, and I want to talk a little bit about this, through this earthly tent we live in, through our bodies. And it's a new year, right, when many of us resolve to do things a little bit differently with how we take care of our bodies. I went to the doctor Monday morning. I had an appointment scheduled that I'd been putting off for 6 months. That was just a routine physical. But I said, the new year has come. I'm going to get to it and take care of myself. Sometimes, for some of us, there's a new habit that needs to be formed or reformed. For some, it is about losing weight. Many people worry about that. For others, it's about getting more exercise or taking the time to eat better. Others perhaps vow to get more sleep. We know that sleep affects our bodies in so many different ways. For some of you, already in the midst of health concerns or even for some of you, health crises, or simply just giving thanks for another year on this earth. You're just glad that your body is here, right? To simply be around your family and your friends and your church family as well. Others of you, I know, are frustrated with your bodies right now, or maybe frustrated for a loved one who's experiencing some difficult times. Something that used to work well doesn't work like it used to, and that is very, very hard. I have a couple of teenagers at my house, and I know that for them, bodies are changing all the time. And when you're 15, the fact that everything is new practically every day is not always so welcome. And for some of you, your bodies and your spirit have been damaged. Some of you by abuse or by neglect or by shame, and you need a really good reason to trust that God will and does bring something new and beautiful out of what has been a source of pain. We know from science and from experience that that body-mind-spirit connection is very real, right? I read just this week, maybe you saw this article too, about a couple in Ohio who died within hours of one another on Christmas Day. Paul and Janet Brown were married nearly 63 years, and both were 82 years old. He worked as a meat merchandiser, setting up a grocery store, butcher shops, and Janet, his wife, raised their four children and was a bus driver on the side. But mostly, they were known for their love for one another. After they retired, they spent several years traveling the country in a travel trailer, and in later years, they lived in the same nursing home in separate rooms, but visiting one another. Janet developed dementia, and Paul was not in good health himself. And so on this past Christmas morning, Paul died. And his children say that Janet joined him just hours later. In death, as in life, their bodies and their souls were indeed joined together. So today, I don't want so much to invite you to renew your bodies. You can find plenty of ways to do that, perhaps in a hair salon or a nail salon, or weight loss programs, all of which can be good. Eating mindfully, there are many ways to take care of our bodies. But I do want to invite you to think a little bit more about what it means to listen to God through your body, a new way of understanding your body in connection with your spirit and your mind and all that happens, the whole of you. Henry Nouwen, one of the great spiritual writers, wrote this about listening to our bodies, and this might be something to think about as you head into the new year and think about what you're doing and how you're treating your body. And he says this, he says, when you get exhausted, frustrated, overwhelmed, or run down, your body is saying that you are doing things that are none of your business. God does not require of you what is beyond your ability, what leads you away from God, or what makes you depressed or sad. God wants you to live for others and to live that presence as well. And we know that sometimes doing so and living for others might indeed include suffering or fatigue. We've had a little sickness in our house this week, and I've been cleaning up after that. So living for others at times does mean extending ourselves. But none of this in the long run should pull you away, Nouwen writes, from your deepest self and God. It might mean as you listen to God through what your body is saying to you, it might mean learning to accept that you are loved, body, mind, and soul, by a gracious and merciful God who loves you just as you are. Pastor and author Barbara Brown Taylor says we might start with this, and I love what she writes. She says, for those of us, we Christians believe that God loves flesh and blood, no matter what kind of shape it's in, whether you're sick or you're well, lovely or irregular, there comes a time, she says, and just listen to this, this might sound a little outlandish to some, but she says, it comes a time when it's vitally important for your spiritual health to drop your clothes, look in the mirror, and say, here I am. This is the body like no other that my life has shaped. I live here. This is my soul's address. For some of you, that might be one of the hardest things you've ever done. But God does love us, body, mind, and soul. It might mean, as we listen to God through our bodies and what our bodies tell us, that in 2019, we think about what it means to speak about the bodies of others. There's been a lot in the news about that with the Me Too movement, for instance. Does what we say honor and respect others and ourselves? There's been a lot of pain in churches, too, over this year around abuse of bodies, disrespect of boundaries and relationships, and dishonoring at times the very most vulnerable among us, our children and youth. By the way, at Trinity, we are working diligently on creating and perfecting policies around keeping our children and youth safe, but we need to extend that and have more conversation about what it means for Christians to live in community with one another as embodied beings. I do believe that in the midst of all these difficult things that are going on right now, that God is doing a new thing, sort of like the spring that is happening underneath the surface of the snow, that God is holding us accountable and also offering us new ways of thinking about living together in community. God is doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? You see, for those of us who are trying to follow Jesus, sometimes we get up and do it well, sometimes we fall and then we get up again, right? But for those of us who are trying to follow Jesus, we can count on the fact that God is always doing a new thing. This means that we expect that God will bring new life out of very painful circumstances, that we expect that God will produce pride where there once was shame, that we trust that God will bring strength out of weakness. And friends, God is not so much in the business of helping us with our New Year's resolutions, although those are very good. Probably a few of us have broken the ones we made already, though, right? But rather, God is in the business of bringing new life out of what was once dead. Like the prophet Isaiah was saying, do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. And what gives us the strength to do that, to trust that God is and will do something new in us, even us? The same power that Jesus had, that comes from the same voice that came down from heaven. You might imagine, as I said earlier, God holding your face and just saying to you, listen, you are my beloved child. You are the one chosen and marked by my love, pride of my life. For United Methodists, it's been a tradition at the beginning of the new year to say what's called a Wesleyan covenant prayer together, based on the words and writings of John Wesley. It's a prayer, and maybe if you could just go ahead and move to the next slide there, and I'll lift that up here. It's a prayer taken from Wesley's writings to really give it up for God, to move into what the new thing that God is doing, a prayer to kind of be able to do things differently, a desire to be immersed in the waters of baptism and to rise above all that keeps you from being free. I'm going to invite us to say this prayer together in just a few minutes, but after that, after we say the prayer together, you're going to be invited to come forward and renew your baptismal vows. And as we do that, I want you to remember the same waters that were poured upon Jesus, the way in which he went underneath the surface of the water and that everything old passed away, and that he became new again. The way in which God said to him, "You are my beloved, in you I am well pleased." There is nothing we can do in life without being rooted, first of all, as Christian people, in that identity, that knowledge that we are claimed and named by a God who will not let us go, who calls us by name, and who we can trust to lead us into the future God is preparing for us. So let us join as we prepare to receive the waters of grace in this covenant prayer. Will you say it with me? I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt, rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or lay aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth